We're going to go into our scriptures, amen, and deal with our scripture on this morning. If you have your Bibles, I don't care if we're virtual, some folks still have Bibles, amen, and I have quite a few of them myself. Quite a few different ones, different kinds, different notes. Amen. It's always good to have a Bible. But if you don't, amen, we have the scripture on the screen for you. And we're going to read out of a little out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, dealing with the same event. And how the different perspectives, amen, recorded this event. And we're going to still work with preparation for progress. We're walking our way up to the cross for the Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to deal with the preparation for progress today again, and we're going to deal with it some more on Palm Sunday, and then we're going to culminate it on Easter Sunday. Amen. Preparation for progress. Matthew 26 and 17 says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. 19th verse, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. The book of Mark, 14th, and it reads on the 12th, starting beginning at the 12th verse, and the first day of unleavened bread. When they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And the disciples went forth and came unto the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. In the book of Luke, then, 22nd verse, starting at the 7th, 22nd chapter, excuse me, starting at the 7th verse. I'm getting ahead of myself. Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 7th verse, 22nd chapter, the 7th verse, and it reads, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enter in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Preparing for progress, 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 preparing, preparing for progress. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come humbly before you right now, God, knowing, God, that you're sitting high and you're looking down low. For the earth is your footstool. All things are in your hand. You're in control of all. So Father, we're sitting and we're waiting. We're tarrying now, oh God, for the move of your Holy Spirit. Father, let it move. Let it fall down on us wherever we may be. Oh God, touch us now in the name of Jesus. God, heal the sick, oh God, and let the lame walk, and let the deaf hear, oh God, and let the dumb talk, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let your mighty power, oh God, be upon this land. Let COVID and every strand, oh God, cease in the name of Jesus. God, you have the power, oh God, so we're believing in you right now, oh God, to do it for us in a mighty way. Father, we ask now, God, that you just, oh, touch those that are grieving, oh God, those that have a loved one that has gone away, oh God, touch their heart. Let them know that you'll never leave them and that you'll never forsake them. God, touch those, oh God, that are depressed and down and out, God, those that has been announced with a new disease. Oh God, let them know, God, that you're able to do it for them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, manifest yourself in their lives, that their relationship may grow in you, oh God, that your grace may grow in them, oh God, and that your mercy, oh, that may be upon them in the name of Jesus. God, we pray now, oh God, that your mighty hand be upon your message. Oh God, let your spirit anoint me, oh God. Oh God, anoint me with your oil, oh God. Oh God, do it now, God. Use me, oh God, as you use the donkey. Oh God, let me speak when you say speak, and let me shut up when it's time to shut up. Oh God, do it for me now, God. Oh God, that I may speak unto your people, that I may edify your church, oh God, and that you may have the glory in the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Oh, amen, amen. Preparing, 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 preparing for progress, preparing for progress, preparing for progress. We're preparing for progress. When we last spoke, we talked about Christ and his baptism of John, and he went into the wilderness and he got tempted of the devil. And we talked about him preparing for his ministry, and his preparation was fasting for 40 days, and he went into the wilderness where no one was there and all by his lonesome. And he fasted for 40 days, and he was preparing for his ministry. And we know as Jesus came out of his fast, the devil tried to tempt him. And when he came out of the wilderness, one of his first miracle was at a wedding party. And when his mother had basically let him know that he was needed at this time, and he needed to do something about the wedding party because it was an embarrassment, amen, for the host. if, and it meant that the marriage would be a bad marriage if the host would run out of wine, and Jesus was needed at this time. And Jesus said, "Mother, it's not my time yet." But the mother refused to hear that it wasn't his time yet. In other words, she was really encouraging him. She had the confidence in him, amen, to do what he did. And Jesus turned the water into wine. And then there was even one of the guests there said he saved the best for the latter. Amen. Sometimes, amen, we get the best at the end. But he performed his first miracle, and Jesus then went on to make the lame walk, and Jesus went on to make the blind see, and Jesus went on to make the deaf hear, and Jesus went on to drive demons out of the possessed, and to cleanse the leper. Jesus went on to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Jesus went on, amen, to create miracle after miracle, amen, to a point that fame went out all over the land. And there was a woman who had tried everything that she could. She had an issue, and an issue of blood, and she went everywhere and tried every physician, and she heard about Jesus, and she made her way in the midst of the crowd. And when she went in the midst of the crowd, she said, "If I can just press my way and touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem." And even in that, she was made whole. Jesus preached, amen, preached and taught many, and fame went about the land of who he was, and this Messiah that has came, this one that, this King of the Jews, this King like no other, this prophet like no other. He teach like no other. He's different, amen, than what we've heard, and he's doing things that we've never seen, and these miracles that are being manifest is different. So as in life, anytime you come up, there's going to be somebody trying to bring you down. I was once told the higher you go, the bigger a target that you are. Jesus had grown in popularity, and now he's at a place where the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees are conspiring. These were three different sects, all served the same God, but they served in different capacities. And many times they didn't even get along because of their differences. But at this point, Jesus was disturbing the process to a point where they started colluding together against him. They came together against him. And so now Jesus was at a point where he recognized it was his time. And it was an ideal time because in the middle of that time, it was now the Passover. And all three gospel writers here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all say it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was the day of the Feast of the Leavened Bread, and that was the first day of the Passover. This was the day that you killed a lamb and dressed him up, and that evening, that afternoon, around sunset, you would eat the lamb. The whole family would come together and in celebration of the Passover, eat the lamb. And this time was come where they were preparing. Somebody ought to say preparing. They were preparing for the Passover. They're preparing for the Passover. They're preparing for the Passover. It was Nisan 14th. This was the Jewish calendar of Nisan 14th. And Nisan 14th was the first day of the Passover. And it was on a Thursday. And they asked Jesus, they come and they asked Jesus, where are we going to prepare and eat the Passover? Where we're going to celebrate Jesus. Now, it was a custom that the Passover was done inside the city walls of Jerusalem. So if you were a Jew or akin to Jews or announced yourself as a Jew, wherever you was in the land, you had to come to Jerusalem to eat the Passover. So Jesus, in keeping with the tradition, he told them some instructions. He gave Peter and John, which was shared with us in the book of Luke, Peter and John, and he's saying, go and prepare us the Passover. Peter and John was the ones to go and make this preparation. Now he gave them clues where to go, and he gave them clues of what to do, but his instructions wasn't specific. He said, look for a man bearing a pitcher of water. Look for a man. But bearing a pitcher of water. Look for a man bearing a pitcher of water. Now, why did Brother Luke make this a point to put in about this pitcher of water? Why did Brother Mark put in a point about this pitcher of water? Why did he put that in there? Why did these two put that in there? Matthew's kind of summarized. Matthew didn't give this detail, but yet he did say, go into the city to such a man. So they were to look for a particular man. He didn't give the man name. He didn't describe the man. He just said, look for the man bearing a pitcher of water. Now, in today's time, a man that will be any man. Any man could be bearing a pitcher of water. That could be the pastor. That could have been the bishop. That could have been the deacon. That could have been the man on the street corner. That could have been the man under the bridge. Any man could carry a pitcher of water. It's common now that a man would carry a pitcher of water. So as we look at this on first look, we will be confused why such a general term of a pitcher of water. Because we look at it through the eyes of today. But at the time, a man of Jesus' time, when he was on the earth and he was walking with his disciples, men did not carry pitchers of water. The women carried pitchers of water. Women carried the waters. It was women that went down to the well a certain time of the day and got the water. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus met a woman by the well. Amen. And this woman couldn't come when the other women came. Amen. Because she was a different kind of woman. Amen. She wasn't the woman that was allowed to hang around the other women. Amen. But it was the women that came to the well. As a matter of fact, amen. When Boaz, amen, saw, amen, his wife, amen, he saw her at the well. Amen. A matter of fact, amen. Amen. When Jacob, amen, was looking, amen, for a wife, amen, he went to the well. It was the women who carried the water. Men carry wine skins. Men carry the wine skins and with the wine, but men did not carry the pitcher of water. And I find this significant because, amen, water in the Bible has much significance in the way that water means, water often represents the Spirit of God. Water often represents deliverance. Now, there are times where water, amen, represents, amen, chaos, amen, for as when it rained 40 days and 40 nights. It was a time when the wind and the waves would bolster upon the ships. Amen, water could be chaos, but most of the time, the water represents the Spirit of God. Water and the Spirit always manifest themselves or coordinate themselves together. So I find it intriguing that this man would be carrying a pitcher of water when it wasn't time to be carrying a pitcher of water, when it wasn't his job to carry a pitcher of water, when he was out of place to be carrying a pitcher of water. But here he's carrying a pitcher of water. And what that says to me is that this man was a spiritual man, amen. He was a man of the Spirit. Amen. How do you know that he was a man of the Spirit? Because when they came to him, they said, the master saith, the teacher saith, where is the guest chamber? Where is thy house? He was a servant. 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 Where is the guest chamber? He was a spiritual man. He was a man of spirit. He was a man. He stood out. He didn't do what everybody else did. He did something different. He stood out because he had a pitcher of water. He was a man of faith. And Jesus said, look, when you find this man of faith, follow him into the house where he entereth. When you find the man that's carrying the water, when you find the man that has the Spirit, when you find the man that's full of the Spirit, follow him. When you locate this individual that's different from the other individuals, follow him. Amen. Follow him into the house. Amen. Because it's in that house. Somebody ought to say it's in that house. It's in that house. It's in that house. It's in the house with a man carrying that pitcher of water. It's in the house of the man that is spiritual and not carnal. It's in that house. It's in the house of the man that is doing the commandments and following, amen, the commandments of Christ. Amen. It's in the house, amen, that Jesus will dwell with his disciples, that spiritual house, not that carnal house, not that house that's built totally on principles and rules and regulations because thank you, Holy Ghost, amen, because as I think about it, Jesus in his ministry, in all of his ministry. We talk about the healings. We talk about the miracles. Hey, we talk about him feeding 5,000. We talk about him feeding 4,000. Amen. But as I remember, amen, as I have studied, Jesus never called the people a sinner. Hey, send me an email, send me a text. Amen. Let me know. Correct me if you can. Amen. I want to know. Show me the scripture where Jesus called people sinners. Now, he did say, go, woman, and sin no more. Hey, he did say, amen, go and don't sin again unless something more worse come upon you. He often said, go and sin no more, but he never called people sinners, except for one group. And only time Christ actually used the word sinners is when the Pharisees or the Sadducees were coming against him, and they were the ones that used the word sinner. And Christ took what they're used, the term that they're used, and taught them with it. There was only a handful of time that occurred, but Christ never walked the earth and preached sinners. But he preached, amen, love, and he preached togetherness and unity, and he preached walking together. So we're talking about preparing for progress. Church, we have to prepare for progress. And Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, that means to be Christ-like. If we're going to be Christ-like, then we ought to act like Christ. And if we're going to act like Christ, then we got to do the things that Christ did. And if we're going to do the things that Christ did, we're going to have to operate like Christ. We're going to have to talk like Christ. We're going to have to walk like Christ. There was people that called him a sinner, amen, because he hung among the sinners. There was some that called him a wine bibbler, amen, because he hung the ones that drunk wine. They called him a sinner because he ate with sinners. He dined with sinners, amen, but he never called them sinners. My. Search the text. Well, what are you saying, Elder Hodge? What are you saying, Elder Hodge? Amen. We have to get to our spiritual place. Amen. We have to get to our spiritual place. Amen. And learn how to love and how to embrace, amen, one another. Amen. Everybody trying to correct everybody, and everybody trying to tell folks who is wrong and what's not right. Amen. What we got to do, amen, is act like Christ. Amen, and say, go. Just don't do it no more. just don't do it no more. Go. Just don't do it no more. I don't have to call you a sinner. You already know you a sinner. When I sinned, I knew I was a sinner. So we got to get to that spiritual place. We got to follow the man with the pitcher of water, that spiritual man, and go into his house. And when we get into his house, he's going to show us a large upper room that's already prepared. See, Jesus is doing something on earth, but he's showing us things in the spirit. Jesus is doing things on earth, but he's showing us things in the spirit. You see, because if we really analyze the text, if we really look at this, I gotta go. If we really look at this, amen, Jesus really is the man with the pitcher of water. Jesus is the spiritual man, And if we follow him into his house, amen, there's a place, there's a large upper room called heaven, amen, that we will be able to dine with him, woo, and celebrate the Passover. And I don't know about you, amen, but I want to be able to celebrate with my Lord, amen, in the upper room. Oh, man, I got to cut this off. I got to cut this off. But it is so good. It is so anointing. It is so powerful. Amen. What Jesus is directing to us right now. Amen. Jesus, amen. Jesus is preparing. He's preparing. He's preparing. He's preparing. He's preparing for progress. Jesus is preparing for progress. And watch this. Watch this. He got Peter and John, amen, preparing for the progress. For the Passover, naturally, but they don't recognize, amen, that they are really about to prepare the ultimate Passover. They're preparing the ultimate meal for the Lamb that's going to take away sin for all. Amen. They're preparing, amen, the Lamb that's without spot and without blemish, because the Bible said he was made flesh, but yet he knew no sin. Amen. They were preparing the last meal. Woo! Oh, they were preparing. They were preparing spirits physically, amen, but they didn't recognize that they were preparing spiritually. They were making ready. They were making ready. They were making ready. The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Amen. And they were shown a large upper room furnished, and there they made ready. They got it together. They got it together. We're looking at, amen, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're looking at their different perspectives and the accountment of their different perspectives. And nobody tells the story the same way. Amen. If I say it one way, somebody may say it different. Amen. But it's the same story. Jesus told them to go into the city, amen, and find a man, amen, that was carrying a pitcher of water, amen, and this man wasn't supposed to be carrying a pitcher of water. And in fact, women were supposed to, somebody would have called him gay. Some probably would call him, he's feminine and his feminine side. But the man had the pitcher of water regardless of what people were saying. The man was doing going by the instructions in which the master had instructed to him. Amen, the teacher had taught him. Amen, and he took the disciples into his own house, amen, where he had a large upper room furnished and ready to go. I don't know about you, amen, but I want to be the one, amen, that God can talk to me, teach me, use me, amen, and he can use my house, amen. As a matter of fact, he's using my house right now, and I'm upstairs, amen. I want you to know today, amen, if he can use your house, amen, if he can use your house, if he can use your house, you ought to say thank you. If he can use your house, you ought to say glory. If he can use your house, you ought to say hallelujah. Amen. If he can use your house, if he can use your house, I gotta go. I promise you, by Easter Sunday, we will get to the cross. We will get to the cross, but we're preparing. We're preparing for progress. We're preparing for progress. And my brothers and my sisters, let us prepare. Let us think about what Jesus, his life, what it meant, what it was about. Amen. He performed miracles, but that wasn't the greatest miracle. That wasn't the greatest thing. That wasn't his purpose. Amen. He performed it. He made the water into wine. He healed the sick, and he healed the deaf and cleansed the leper. He did that, but truly that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his purpose. He was preparing for progress. Let's get prepared that we may be ready to go into that large upper room. He said, I go to a place. I go and I prepare a place for you. He said, in my father's house, there was many mansions. Large room. It's interpreted mansions, but it's large room. In other words, there's enough room for you. There's enough room for me. We don't have to be selfish. We don't have to beat each other up. We don't have to, amen, trick each other and maneuver around each other. Amen. There's enough room for all of us. But we have to be prepared. We have to make ready. We have to make ready for the Passover. Pray with me, most heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come humbly before thee, God. We thank you now for your word. We thank you for the preparation that we're going through, that we're getting ready for, God. And we know, God, that at the end, God, the progress, Lord, the progress, oh, God, it's going to be magnificent, God. We're anticipating it right now, and we're saying thank you. Oh, we're glorifying you right now. We're saying thank you, oh, God. We're lifting you up right now. We're saying thank you, oh, God. We are holding up holy hands, oh, God, to receive of thee, God. Oh, God, and we just want to praise and we want to glorify you. We want to look to the hills and with cometh our help. We can't do it without you. We're trusting you right now in the name of Jesus. Do it for us, Lord. Do it for us. Do it in our lives. Do it for us. Heal the sick. Comfort the grieved. Oh, God, and bless the depressed. God, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're listening to this message and this series of messages, we want to encourage you, amen, to get into a relationship with Christ. I don't want to just offer Christ to you. I don't want to just introduce you to Christ. I want you to get in a relationship with him. I want you to meet him, amen, and dine with him. I want you to, amen, be able to talk with him and he talk to you. I want you to have a relationship with Christ. And if you feel the need, amen, to have that relationship, amen, so that you can dine in that large upper room, say this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me. For I have sinned. Lord, throw my sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Allow me to be saved. For Father, I believe that you are human, yet you were divine. You were born of a Virgin Mary. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose on the third day with all power in your hand. I believe that you sit on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. I believe. If you believe that, the Bible says if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you are saved. It didn't say you might be, maybe, when somebody tell you, you will be. It says if you confess with your mouth, if you say it, out of your mouth, and you believe it in your heart, you are saved. You shall be. You are saved. And I believe that you are if you said that. And if you believe it, I believe it. The Bible says you are. I believe that you are. Amen. And just let us know that you are. You know, text us. Amen. Write us. Email us. Amen. That God has saved your life. Amen. And let us pray with you. God bless each and every one of you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for visiting with us. We thank you for praying and worshiping with us. Amen. As we are preparing for progress, we'll see you next Sunday on Psalm Sunday. Amen. And we're going to continue to prepare for progress. God bless you. We love you. Amen. May our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. I got to unmute it.
That means my background music wasn't playing. The extra button I have to hit.
Huh?
I just unmuted it. Getting a system down. You know, you get in the habit of doing the same thing over and over again. You get better at it. And before we was trying this and trying that. You know what I'm saying? So we ain't trying it that much. I can't hear you.